Welcome to Focus on the Upstate, a program dedicated to informing you about organizations that serve our community and how you can get involved with them. Here's your host, Chris Evans.
Good morning and welcome to Focus on the Upstate, a pre-recorded production of Entercom Communications. My name is Chris Evans. Today, my guest is Beth Paul, the general manager of the Bon Secours Wellness Arena. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. Well, thank you for being here. I do appreciate it. This is episode 32 of what we have deemed the COVID Chronicles, an ongoing series of Focus on the Upstate since about March. And you are the newest guest in that regard. We're going to be talking about Bon Secours Wellness Arena and how you guys have reacted to the pandemic. But I want to start with the question that I normally open up with for my guests, which is, what do you do and who do you do it for? I imagine most of our listening audience is going to be at least familiar with the Well. Do you guys, let me ask this first, do you like the name The Well, that nickname that has kind of been bestowed upon the Bon Secours Wellness Arena?
I do, and I think it can mean a lot of different things. I love our name, our Bon Secours Wellness Arena name, but I think The Well is also quite endearing, and it has really been embraced by the community. So I'm really a big fan of it.
Well, and I'm glad it's been embraced not just by the community, but by the folks there that are running it, because I know that it's all too common for a company to come up with a name for something and then that name, for whatever reason, doesn't stick among the public, among the people who are patronizing or consuming the product, and they call it something else and there's pushback from the company. You know, and it just creates this sort of adversarial relationship where I think none really needs to exist if they could just embrace it and say, oh, well, this is what people want to call it. That's what, as long as it isn't derogatory, as long as it isn't pejorative or something like that, obviously. But as soon as I heard The Well, when Bon Secours took over the naming rights from Bylo, I guess it was the Bylo Center before that, it didn't take very long for the nickname The Well to come about. And as soon as I heard it, I was like, that's fantastic, and I'm really glad that you guys have embraced it. So let's get back to the original question, which is, what do you do and who do you do it for? For those unfamiliar with The Well, tell us about it.
Sure. Well, The Well, it's actually owned and operated by the Greenville Arena District. And so, interestingly enough, the Arena District has been around since the 40s and was the operator and owner of the old Greenville Memorial Auditorium.
I am old enough to remember that.
No, me too. So when the auditorium came down and the plans were put into place to build this new arena, of course, the Arena District stayed the operator and the owner. And so what we do is we bring live entertainment and live events to the citizens of the upstate. We strive to make everything we do diverse and inclusive and have broad appeal so that as many people in our community can enjoy entertainment as possible. So, you know, in addition to hosting live events, we always try to be a meaningful and relevant corporate citizen, contribute to our community through, you know, economic impact and through philanthropy and volunteerism and using all the resources we have to support others in our community. One of our major goals is to promote business outside of the walls of the arena. So we encourage, while we want people to eat and drink and enjoy what we have here, it's also exciting and something we're very proud of is that we can impact the hotels and the restaurants and the retail businesses downtown and also in other parts of the city and the county. So we like to think that we're a place of, you know, again, live entertainment, your ability to be communal with your friends and family, but also a major source of the economy in Greenville.
Yeah. And I like the name Wellness Arena also because Bon Secours Hospital System has long had a mission of wellness here in the upstate. And it just seems to sort of reinforce that idea. What is your mission? What is your attitude around The Well in terms of making sure that the public is aware of general wellness?
Well, sure. I mean, I'll start with, you know, we have an incredible relationship with Bon Secours St. Francis. They're an amazing healthcare system, and the work they do in our community also goes well beyond the walls of the hospitals. Just truly a great partnership in every sense, and they've given us the platform to do a lot of different things and a lot of unique things that are sort of unique to unique to us and maybe not typical in every arena you see around the country. A lot of it has to do with wellness. And so, you know, we have some programs that are specifically designed around wellness that BonsaCorps executes here. You know, we have Well Walkers every Tuesday and Thursday, which is really a wonderful program that provides a safe environment that's immune to inclement weather, where folks come and walk the concourse from 9 to
just for
1.
Exercise.
Yeah, just for exercise. And for us, you know, from an arena perspective, it's great to have that other, you know, another layer of connectivity between a certain demographic or a certain consumer. They may not be ones that would come to a concert, but we can still provide an opportunity for them to enjoy this facility through wellness activities. And so we've certainly embraced that, and it's a great program that BonsaCorps does there for our community. You know, we've done some improvements to the actual arena, you know, aside from COVID, which I know we're going to talk
about. Yes, we'll get to that, don't you
worry. Yeah, we'll get to that. Prior to that, you know, we have a nursing mother's suite here in the arena, which is, it's wonderfully designed, and it is just, you know, again, we're trying to
accommodate as many people as possible.
Yeah, thank you. I couldn't find the word.
That's okay.
We have a sensory suite, which is really tremendous, and it was we worked with a focus group of families of children with autism or other disabilities, and therapists and organizations such as Thrive Upstate.
Describe that for me. What does the sensory suite actually do and for?
So we learned that certain individuals with disabilities were not able to come to the arena or were uncomfortable here in the typical live event setting. So we created a space that has some dampened sound, dampened lights, very comfortable and flexible seating. So there's lots of room to wiggle and move and enjoy a live event without necessarily having a sensory overload, if you will. And
gotcha.
It's a tremendous asset. And we opened it in March of 2019, and you know, just the first night, we had people come to the arena who had never been here before, and that was our whole goal. Again, to be inclusive and to offer amenities that are accommodating to as many groups of people as we can.
You also mentioned philanthropy that the Wellness Arena engages in, and I know that I've spoken with a number of organizations around the Upstate that have partnered with you in some form or fashion to put on events or to raise funds for their missions, various missions. Talk a little bit about the philanthropic partners that you have at Wellness Arena.
Sure. We do. We have a couple of different programs. One is that we, you know, offer use of our space to nonprofits to further their mission. And when we have space available, we open the arena to them to use. And we understand that a nonprofit budget is going to be small, and we don't want to. Right. And, you know, they should be able to use this space in a way that is supporting their budgets. And so that's really important to us. And again, we have another level of connectivity with those folks that come in here. It may be small. It may be a board meeting or a staff lunch or, you know, something small. But just having a place to go that's simple and easy is can be really important to them. And it's something they don't have to spend their time or resources on. We have a great, one of our great partners is Habitat for Humanity. It's an agency that our staff really supports. They like the volunteering. They love being a part of what Habitat has to offer. Mm-hmm. And one thing we started last year is, you know, an arena build. So we will continue to do that, where we build a house here on site. The purpose of doing that is, of course, to bring greater awareness to Habitat and what they do, affordable housing in Greenville, and also use our platform, you know, just for more visibility. And it's really amazing to see the house, the framework of the house, come up here. All the volunteers come together to work on it. We load it up on a truck and then move it to the permanent site. It's just something we're really proud of, and really proud of the partnership with.
And I'm sure well-deserved. It sounds like a definitely a good project. And I know you've partnered with a number of other organizations.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, we've done so many different things. We do work with like Upstate Warrior Solution. We work with Loaves and Fishes. We had an incredible amount of food that was rescued from the arena last year and distributed to parts of our community that were in need. So food rescue is a big part of what we do also. We try to reduce the waste as much as possible.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, there's going to be some. And so the way we manage that is what's really important to us. One thing we do too, I think it's really interesting, when artists come to the arena or any arena, it's a standard practice to provide the artist with a gift.
Okay.
And many times they receive gifts that are you know, guitars or sure. cakes or tangible item. And what we do is we research what charities or what causes they might support and then make a donation in their name.
Very nice.
And it's been really effective. It's been very well received by the artists, and some of our local nonprofits have really benefited from that practice that we do. And it's not going to make anybody's year, but it's something that's unexpected
right.
and a surprise, and we like to do that too. It's good for the nonprofit, it's good for us, and the artists love it. So that's also one way that we give. Of course, we have a lot of volunteer opportunities that our staff participate in, and one thing that's pretty consistent is that we offer, if an agency requests use of our space for a drive, just given where we are located, food drives,
sure.
food drives, blanket
yeah.
drives, et cetera, we can give them a really high-profile platform to get their messaging out and to be very front and center and present in the core of Greenville.
Very nice. Well, this program is called the COVID Chronicles, and I guess we ought to turn to the elephant in the room, mm-hmm. which is the still ongoing pandemic, now after 30-something weeks. To give us the history of the well during the pandemic, everything started shutting down, I think, around the beginning of March. Were you affected by it then or earlier or later? What happened over the well?
We shut down on... Well, our last event was March the 9th, and we shut down on March the 10th, and we were on the forefront of the closures and the shutdowns, and our industry as a whole was one of the first to shut down, and, you know, we're going to be, unfortunately, one of the last to come back, and it's just I hate to say it is what it is, but it is.
Well, it's the nature of the beast.
It's the nature of the beast, right? Like, I mean, it's what we do does not... The way it used to be done, and in typical fashion, is not
conducive
not
to social distancing.
Definitely not. It's the opposite, right?
And yes.
So after our shutdown, you know, I think everybody, maybe not everybody, maybe the majority of folks thought this is a 30-day window, and after
yes.
this, we're going to be back to business, and off we go. And, you know, after a couple of weeks, we're like, oh, maybe it's 60 days. And
yeah. Yeah, it kept getting longer and longer
yeah.
and I remember I've remarked before about doing this show actually in those early days and weeks and months and talking about the uncertainty of where this was going, exactly when it was going to end and when we could go back to some semblance of normalcy. I remember the last show that I saw at the well was actually just over a year ago now. It was right at the end of October last year, and I don't think we had anything planned yet to go back again, but there were things coming up, and then all of them left. I was curious, how much of the closing was from your end deciding that this is not going to be safe to be having these events, and how much of it was from the actual artists or whoever was putting on the events pulling out and saying, we don't think this is a good idea anymore?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a combination. I mean, it was
sure.
sort of a no-brainer. None of the parties involved in putting on a show, which there's, you know, 3 to 4 major entities when you put a show on. There's the artist, there's the building, there's the promoter, the agent. None of us agreed that we need to try to push forward.
Sure.
It really wasn't ever a discussion where we had to, you know, one party was like, no, we got to go, and somebody had a dissenting opinion. I mean, we knew that the socially responsible thing to do is to cancel our events and then come up with a strategy for recovery. And that recovery process is just longer than we initially thought
right.
it was going to be, right?
So, longer than anybody thought it was going to be.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we went through the summer. We did have to make some really tough business decisions and you know, went through the same thing other companies were going through, furloughs and deciding what's best for the company, what's best for the community, you know, all the things that
sure.
we have to weigh, and it's daunting. And but the one thing I realized too is Greenville is a great community. There was a lot of resources to even just talk through different scenarios, a lot of access to information, and a lot of people really willing to support the arena and figure out how we do recover. Anywho, we went through the summer, and then, executive order after executive order, there was an order out there that we were, that
right.
prevented us from reopening,
right.
not even that we would have. However, in August, the governor, I believe it was August, did execute an executive order that provided an avenue for us to present a reopening plan to the Department of Commerce and DHEC, and if approved, we would be able to reopen, and of course with many, many guidelines in place. And so we did. We already had the framework of one. We submitted our plan to the state, and they, in fact, responded that it was, you know, the gold standard of plans. It was extremely thorough. We spent an enormous amount of time putting the plan together. So, you know, some of the core fundamentals of the plan, of course, are the three things, you know, good hygiene, wash your hands, all of the things that we've all heard about good hygiene, wear a mask, and socially distance. And the socially distance is probably the more difficult one when you're trying to make a business case for doing events. But, you know, we put the plan together. We have some processes that are going to change, again, like socially distance seating, wearing a mask, no bags, touch, you know, creating a touchless environment, increasing our cleaning schedules, significantly changing the way and how frequently we sanitize high-touch areas, all of these things. And then we have some engineer controls where we actually made a significant investment into the building so that we have a touchless environment. So when you enter the building, you will now go, your weapons detection process will be touchless. You'll walk through, you know, a system instead of the manual wanding, which would put our staff and a fan in very close contact.
Right.
So we needed to remove that friction. The next step would be going through our ticket scanning. Typically, that's done by an employee would scan a fan's ticket. Now you walk through and you scan your own ticket on a pedestal. So,
well, and security was never what I would call lax around the well. It certainly wasn't tight, but I would call it thorough.
It's thorough,
And in fact,
now we have, there's two benefits of this. It's the security detection, the weapons detection system is actually state-of-the-art, and so we were not only achieving a touchless system, but an extremely high level of security and weapons detection, too.
Okay.
So, yeah, we actually improved that process.
Excellent. Glad to hear it.
Yeah.
So what do people need to expect when they're coming back to the well? How are things going to be changed from the patron's perspective?
Well, those two things are big, and that actually makes the lines move quicker. Of course, all lines will be expected to be socially distanced.
Okay.
We'll have markings, of course, and great signage in place to remind people of that. The food and beverage offerings, you know, prepackaged items, is the recommendation from DHEC, which of course we'll do. They'll still be great and they'll still be exciting, but you know the offerings will be limited because of.
You mean
COVID.
Rather than prepared food?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Well, right. Rather than you know get receiving like
prepared on site.
Well, it'll be prepared on site. It'll just
okay.
be as opposed. You know, you may have if you got a bucket of popcorn. The popcorn was exposed on the top, right?
Right.
So it might be in a box that's closed.
Gotcha.
Draft beer and fountain soda will be replaced by cans or bottles. You know, some recommendations that are going to be different, but not, I don't think, necessarily a negative impact.
Not obtrusive.
On the consumer. Right, yep. Seating will look very, very different. So if,
okay.
you know, we're accustomed to going elbow to elbow, we are selling seats in pods, and so you're able to order in groups of, you know, a variety of sizes, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Each pod, the expectation is that the ticket buyer will come with, you know, the rest of their family or very trusted acquaintance from the same household. And there will be 4 seats in between each pod, and then we do have to skip every other row. So we have a safe social distance plan in place. Of course, all that's, you know, when you go online to purchase a ticket from Ticketmaster, it still looks the same. I mean, the system is the same. You just
Right.
select a pod of 4, and then the surrounding seats are killed out so that nobody else can sit there.
Interesting. What about the floor seating, or not necessarily seating, but access to the floor in the case of like a concert or something?
Same thing. It'll be same pod seating. So where you sat, we for most shows, we did reserve seating on the floor.
Okay.
And so normally we put 1,500 chairs on the floor. I think we're going to have 300 chairs on the floor or something like that. So same thing, same pod, same 6 feet all the way around, front, side, and back. And then we set up the next pod. So there will probably be more distance from the stage to the front row of chairs, you know, to make sure the artist is protected as well. So, so seating will look very different. Of course, we're going to require masks to be worn by all fans, all guests, all vendors. Everyone in the building is required to wear a mask. Of course, you may take it off briefly while you're eating and drinking. Our staff is, of course, very well trained in this, and you know, the pretty standard health screenings and such are required of our staff members and our vendors. We want to make sure everybody stays healthy.
And of course, a lot of this depends on the public cooperating with these guidelines.
Yes, of course. I mean, our reopening plan, when executed, it's going to be very well done. I'm very confident in our ability to execute the plan. All of the engineered controls, plus the changes in process and operational standards. I'm confident that we can execute that. The part that we need a support from and cooperation with is from the fans. They have, you know, I want the message to be that we are so excited to be reopen. We're so excited to welcome fans back. And in order to continue to do that, we all have to be in this together. We all have to follow the rules and the guidelines that are in place, and be kind to one another, be thoughtful of one another, and how our actions our choice to maybe not support the rules, how that might impact someone else. And I just think it's really important. And the rules are quite simple. And I'm really hopeful that our fans will be able to support them and embrace them and promote them, you know? So
absolutely. Do you have a quick list of the events that are coming up now that the Well is opening back up?
I do. So we have a preseason game of hockey of Swamp Rabbits on December the 5th.
Okay.
Which will be great, but the exciting home opener is December the 18th. And they open on the 18th, and then they have another game on Saturday the 19th. The Rabbits have a game on December the 26th, January the 1st, and January the 6th. And so we'll announce the remainder of that schedule in the coming weeks, but for now we just have the first five games announced. We have announced professional bull riding. So PBR, the Velocity Tour, will be here in January 24 and 25. Really excited to do that. Again, it's all socially distanced. We have two shows, one Friday, one Saturday. And really excited to bring PBR back. It's been a couple of years. Furman University announced that we will have a couple of Furman basketball games here yet. And we'll be announcing those event details very soon. And we did announce our first concert. It does seem that, you know, live music will be one of the last categories of live entertainment to come back indoors.
Right.
However, contemporary Christian music seems to be at the forefront of that and is leading that charge. And so we announced Toby Mac and put the show on sale. Yeah, will be February the 24th. And we do have a lot of other things in there and that we haven't announced, but I anticipate announcing between now and, you know, mid-January. So really excited to be open, starting to host these events. It's not the level that we used to do. We don't have the concert business. We have limited.
Do you see that on the horizon, like when you can actually get back to the, or is that still too far off to predict?
We are...
I understand you have to answer diplomatically.
No. I mean, we are predicting some shows in the fall of 21.
Okay.
However, you know, realistically, it might be first quarter of 2022.
Okay. Fair enough. You also mentioned volunteer opportunities and having furloughed people. What kind of opportunities are there for people to get involved over there, whether it's with a paid gig or a volunteer position?
Yeah, so I failed to mention when we were talking about contributions to the community, our concession stands are run by nonprofits.
And okay.
So what's really exciting is the percentage of sales goes back to their organization. And it's a great great way for fundraising for these nonprofits. And so that's one wonderful way to do that. That those links are on our website, and people can go there to BSWArena.com.
BSW for Bon Secours Wellness Arena.com.
Yep, that's right. And then we always have part-time work opportunities. We're trying right now to get the core staff from before back on payroll and making sure they're all comfortable coming back to work. And any of those opportunities would be made available there as well. So we love for people to get involved. We're always looking for great talent and involvement from our community. So most of that stuff is listed on our website.
One more time, the website, bswarena.com. Beth Paul, the general manager of the Bon Secours Wellness Arena, has been my guest today. Thank you very much for being here, Beth.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's been my pleasure. I'm Chris Evans, and this has been Focus on the Upstate.
You've been listening to Focus on the Upstate with Chris Evans. If you would like more information on today's topic, email Chris at cevans@intercom.com.